Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Yo, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, and as always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios on this Football Friday. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. Coming up hour from now, Ramon Foster is going to join us. We'll chat some Steelers as they lose last night. Time to go to Kenny Pickett, in my opinion. And you have the Cleveland Browns now sitting at 2-1. Can they weather the storm until Deshaun Watson does return after his 11-game suspension, and a lot of other news and notes around the NFL. Tom Brady going up against Aaron Rodgers this weekend in Tampa. Tua Tagovailoa hosting the Buffalo Bills this weekend as Josh Allen's rolling into town, and you can't stop him right now. He is 2-0. The New England Patriots, they're going to host the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm going to be honest with you, Hickey. Last week you told me your team was going to lose. And I didn't actually believe you when you said it, and you ended up being right. First time for everything. I think my Patriots are in a rough spot on Sunday. Really rough spot on Sunday. And I am not feeling good about this game.
You're not encouraged or at least, you know, given hope that maybe Lamar Jackson is not at 100%?
No, that's a bunch of baloney. I saw what he was wearing with
sleeve.
The sleeve on the elbow. Then they said he was okay and he was fine. Lamar Jackson's going to run right through this Patriots defense. And this is the problem I have right now. In the NFL, you either have speed or you don't. We know the Ravens have speed at the quarterback position. I think Mac Jones can be a good quarterback. But what options does he have that could go cut through your defense? I know the Ravens are banged up after last week's game, but you don't have burners on the offense side of the ball for the Patriots, and that's a problem. They're not setting their young quarterback up for success. Like this year, we'll know if Jalen Hurts is going to be the guy because they got him A.J. Brown. They have Devontae Smith. You have Dallas Goedert. The Miami Dolphins will know if Tua is the guy or not after this year because you drafted Jalen Waddle a year ago. You have Tyreek Hill right now. The Patriots have who at wide receiver? Jacoby Myers is solid, but he's not number one. Devontae Parker's got to start to show me something. Do I think that Nelson Agholor all of a sudden is going to start consistently catching footballs? No. They don't have enough weapons. And that's why it's remarkable that they were 10-7 last year and made the postseason. Because this roster is not that drastically different than what it was a year ago. Now, here's what they do have going for them. They have a good offensive line. So Mac will have some time. But I just don't see how they're going to be able to outscore Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens. And also, the Ravens are coming off a devastating defeat where they put up points and then their defense stopped playing football. And you had the Miami Dolphins outscore them 28-3 in the fourth quarter. So you have a pissed off Ravens team coming into Foxborough. And home field advantage isn't what it once was for the New England Patriots. They've lost games at home ever since Tom Brady has left. I think this is a rough spot for my boys this weekend. But the only saving grace I have, and this is how you know I don't think they're going to win the game, because I said this to you last week, is everyone's picking the Ravens. So if everyone's picking the Ravens and everyone's loaded up in the Ravens financially as well, maybe Belichick pulls a rabbit out of the hat, but I'm not expecting that this weekend.
Here's one thing that could go in your favor. What's the weather like?
You're going to give me some optimism here?
Yes. Was it last year or 2 years ago when you had that monsoon on
Sunday
Night Football?
And it started raining in the fourth quarter, and everybody thought Belichick was gone.
Conveniently, when Lamar Jackson needed to throw the ball.
You're such a loser when you say conveniently.
All of a sudden, this monsoon hurricane started coming down.
That is how mind-bleeped the rest of the National Football League was for 20 years by the Patriots, that they actually thought that Bill Belichick could control the weather. Sunday, I don't see any rain in the forecast.
Oh, then you're screwed. If you had another monsoon, I'd say that favors you and would help slow down Lamar, maybe lessen some of his speed.
A few fumbles.
But nice sunny day, dry surface, going to be tough.
So you know me. I told you there would not be one moment this year when I would advocate for the Patriots to make a coaching change. You know me. I've ridiculed people that have said this. I'm not going there yet, you dope.
I was gonna. Well, where are you going? Where are you? You prefaced it with that. So where are we going?
Well, we used to make fun of that kid that used to work here, Tyler Moriello.
Yes,
who's a Patriot fan, and last year he was advocating when they made the playoffs for Bill Belichick to get fired early on in the season.
I think even 2020 he wanted him fired at one point too.
Yeah. Well, I love Tyler, but I'll say this nicely: he's an idiot. My cousin, who is as loyal of a Patriot fan as they come, and never predicts them to lose. I talked to him this week. He said they're going to lose. I've never heard my cousin say they're going to lose a football game. He always says they're going to win, and it's going to be like 45-0. I talked to my college roommate, who is also a Patriot fan. He's not happy with Belichick either. So people in my circle, my college roommate and my cousin, that's blood, are starting to doubt Bill Belichick and are not happy with the hoodie.
Now, Bill's losing the base.
I'm not saying that you should be happy. But I'm still not at the point yet in my life after what we just saw for the last 20 years of getting ready to say, yeah, let's go run Bill Belichick out of town. But if they miss the playoffs this year, next year is a big year. Because Robert Kraft is not happy. He's not. Supposedly, he told Matt Patricia and Bill, you better go play Kendrick Bourne after week one. He said it's been some tough times since they haven't won a playoff game in several years. I don't think Bill will ever get fired, nor should he. And they'll always be, even when they're bad, they'll never be like awful. Like, they'll still win 7-8 games this year. But if they get embarrassed this week, I just wonder what the tone of the fan base is going to be. Because I'm not, let me be clear. And I don't want people to say, oh, Gelb's giving up on Belichick, because I'm not. And Bill, we trust. I love Bill Belichick. He's the hoodie. I just don't think they're going to win this week. And I don't think that team is this good this year. So my expectations were low heading into the season. I thought they'd be an 8-win team or so, 9-win team. But when my cousin and my roommate from college start to tell me that they're concerned about Bill, I think they're a little bit spoiled, don't get me wrong. But it's a little bit eye-opening. Now, my college roommate, he's nuts. He, like, even when they were good, he was, like, criticizing them. So him, you could kind of throw him in the trash. But my cousin, he's predicted them to win every game for the last 20 years of my life by 45 points. That's the one that concerns me.
You know, I'm actually surprised. I did not think I would hear this talk from you this early.
Whoa.
I'm not saying you're giving up.
No, it's not me. It's just my people, man, or circle.
You're just saying, if this season goes awry, maybe next year is a big year for Bill. It's like, we're sitting here week three, and we're already talking about, maybe next year.
I think it's people in the fan base. I don't know if it's people inside the organization. But people in the fan base, it's only two people, but those are people's opinions that I sort of trust.
Do you think?
With a grain of salt.
Let's just
big
say.
Big grain of salt, by the way.
Play this out for me. 45-7, the Ravens win on Sunday.
Fire Bill check. No,
any chance we get a fire Bill chant?
No.
Let me tell you.
I don't care if they lose the next 10 games by 100 points. You cannot chant fire Belichick what he's done the last 20 years.
I would agree. It sounds like Bill is maybe starting to lose the base. And I wonder if you have another bad offensive performance and Lamar Jackson is running all over this defense. Look, in one way, I will say, you know me, I hate the Patriots. I hate Patriots fans. I hate the entire team.
Wait,
I hate the entire organization.
Hold on. I have audio in the system that I could find of you chanting, let's go, Pats. Let's go, Pats. Let's go,
Very out
Pats.
Of context, but yes.
But did you not say those words?
I said those words in succession, very out of context.
And you also, there's a video of you saying that Tom Brady did not deflate the footballs. Also.
Which, fine. That's fine. I hate Deflategate, so that's okay. I think this whole thing's stupid.
You were saying?
With that said, with my hatred for the Patriots organization and the fans, I actually respect, in a way, that it's just like, you're not complacent. Like, I respect the fans that are like frustrated with Bill, that it's just not like, hey, we won for 20 years, this is okay. There is a part of me that's like, you know what? If you chant fire Bill, like, I think you're crazy and you're stupid right now, but it's like, you know what? It's coming from a place where I respect where you want to win every single year.
So you don't respect me is what you're saying, because I'm not there yet.
No, I'm not saying disrespect you. I'm just saying, like, people right now that are chanting, if there's a fire Bill chant week three, it's lunacy.
Well,
but I'm saying from where it's coming from, for how stupid it is, there's a, in a weird way, a kind of respect, like, you're holding this team to a high standard, and if you're not there, it doesn't matter who it is, things got to change.
So, two things. I, in 2020, was never mad watching the team. Last year, they made the playoffs, I was not mad watching the team. I wonder when I start to get mad, because my body doesn't let me get mad because I've been so fortunate the last 20 years. Now, I don't want to be the guy, though, that is in 10 years from now not getting mad and is just resting on the past history like Cowboys fans to this day of, oh, we were great, we were a dynasty, and we haven't won jack since 1995. Steelers fans starting to become that way a little bit, too. The great Pittsburgh Steelers. They haven't been great, really, in the last 10 years. It's been a while since they won a Super Bowl. And I don't know when the Steelers are going to turn around, and I don't know when the Cowboys are going to turn around. So, yes, you take the winning when you get it, and my team has won more than anyone's team will ever win in their lifetime. So I'm appreciative of that to the fullest. But I just wonder when I start to get mad with this team. Because I am, through the first 3 weeks, and I went in with low expectations, first 2 weeks, and I went in with low expectations this year. I haven't gotten mad yet. And that's what I wonder when I feel all the other pain that all other football fans have felt through my team's run of dominance. I know, you play the small violin. I tell everyone all the time, I was living in the penthouse for 20 years. If I have to downgrade to like the outhouse for a little bit, I can handle that. But I just wonder when I start to really freak out. Because the one thing, I'll give Mraz credit. Mraz's team has won 2 Super Bowls in his lifetime, has been to 3 in his lifetime, right? Or was, like, Mraz doesn't remember the Super Bowl that they, against the Bills. There's no way, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
What was he, like, 86? 3 or 4?
Yeah.
No, that was 91. It's 91.
It was what, 30?
Well, they won 2 Super Bowls. They won 2 Super Bowls with Parcells. But
probably 2000, he remembers, I would say.
Yeah.
That's the first one, I would guess.
So I give Mraz credit because he won in 07, and then he won in 2011, 2012. And I know that the Giants the last 5 years are the worst team in the league, but like, he's not resting on those 2 championships. Where that gives him some perspective, like each and every game, it's like all or nothing for that guy. So I just wonder when I get to that crazy level of fandom in terms of like where I get really mad when they lose. Because for the last 20 years, I haven't had a lot of opportunities to get really mad. Like, that, don't get me wrong. Like, you lose in the Super Bowl. It sucked. It's awful. You want to, on a car ride back, just basically like jump out of the car after one of those Super Bowl trips that I was driving back on from Indianapolis. Like, it's brutal. But I just wonder when I really start to get mad again as a football fan. Because the last 2 years, I haven't been mad. Because I thought that would be, like, selfish. And it would be spoiled if I was to get mad after 2 down years. And 1 year, they made the playoffs, let's be real.
Must be nice.
Oh, come on.
I was sitting there screaming at the TV last week. Yeah. Guess what? I'm right back on it. I'm hungry. I want another one. And another one. Okay. And another one.
So are you telling me, Jason Kelce once said, hungry dogs run faster. Do I have to now become a hungry dog again and start running faster and start getting annoyed with my football team? And start just saying jackassery things when it comes to Bill Belichick and company.
Well, if you don't believe it, no. Don't be, you know, turning into Skip Bayless 2.0, just saying things to say things.
I'm not a man of fake outrage. I hate fake outrage.
So you've been eating for a while. So if you're not hungry, No reason to run.
I want to win. I want to see them do well. But I just, with how fortunate I was the last 20 years, it's just tough to get mad. When you have a year where you missed the playoffs and were still like serviceable, 7 wins, not like you were great, but you were in those games. And then last year they were 10-7, made the playoffs. Like, I don't think they're going to be good this year. So maybe that's also why I'm not like furious. But the offense has been rough to watch through the first 2 weeks. And you just see how, even though I like the quarterback, but you just see that they need a lot of work in the other positions, which they just don't have right now. They don't have the speed. Anyway, I was reading an article during the break. Did you see who turned down doing the Super Bowl halftime show this year?
Turned it down?
Yes. This person is interested in doing future halftime shows, but right now, because of work commitment, she cannot do the Super Bowl this year because she's so dedicated to something else right now.
Well, I saw Taylor Swift was rumored, so is she the one that turned it down?
That would be correct.
Wow.
Taylor Swift would like to do future Super Bowls, a halftime show, but not this one. So, in this TMZ article, sources tell TMZ they're still looking for another female pop star. The first person that came to mind, and maybe it's just because I just watched her on Carpool Karaoke with James Corden. Wouldn't Lizzo do a great halftime show?
Truth Hurts is a banger.
I can't name one Lizzo song. I've heard her music. It's just the way that my brain works when I don't love an artist in terms of they're not on my Apple Music or something like that. But Lizzo has a lot of, she has a lot of bangers. Because when she did Carpool Karaoke, it's only 15 minutes, but like, you're like, oh yeah, that's that song that she sings. And it's like, you're rocking out, jamming out. And she puts on a show too.
She does. She does.
Now, she may not be able to dress the way that she would like to, basically not wearing any clothes. She'd have to actually get dressed for the Super Bowl halftime show.
Well, I mean, Shakira, J-Lo weren't shy.
That is true.
So, you know,
but they, they at least showed up with clothes on. And then when the body started to moving, you started to realize that those skirts were rather short. Now, I didn't have a problem with that whatsoever. I thought all these people that were like, well, my children are watching. Like, come on. Give me a break with that. But I think Lizzo would do a great job. Is there someone that has not done the halftime show that you would like to see do the Super Bowl halftime show, Hot Take Cookie?
Yes.
Okay.
The Killers. They would put on a tremendous show. They have tons of songs everyone knows.
Okay, Mr. Brightside would be great. My question is, you only get 15 minutes. That would obviously have to be the last song. That would have to be the ending
yes.
of it. The Killers, what else are they really giving you?
There's
one other song I really like by The Killers, Spaceman, which is a really good song.
I'm the Man, which is a great one. That's okay. Like their most recent one. Places, or was it Things We've Done, Places We've Gone?
Yeah, the Killers could, the Killers, I don't, put it this way, I like The Killers a lot. I don't think it gets a reaction of like, wow, 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 this is the greatest thing ever, but they would put on a good show.
I think they put on, the name would not pop, but I think they put on a really good show that people are like, oh yeah, wow, that was great.
I got a few. I know that they've asked Jay-Z before and he's turned them down, but if you get Jay-Z, I think you keep on going back to the well until Jay-Z says yes. I would ask Jay-Z. I don't think John Legend has ever done a halftime show. John Legend, I think, would be phenomenal. You don't like John Legend?
I think he's a little slow. Music's a little slow.
Yeah, but he's a performer. Like, that's a guy that could play to the crowd. He could play to the event.
I think you probably need someone else paired with him. I know they have like 4 or 5 acts anyway, so that's moot, but
Ed Sheeran would be great. And then Bon Jovi. How has Bon Jovi never done a halftime show?
That is surprising.
And Billy Joel has never done a halftime show.
We're both from New York. Is Billy Joel more idolized
Billy Joel's
here
a legend.
Than national? I can't answer. I don't know.
Well, Billy Joel's a legend. Now, you know what? Can we base that off Twitter followers? How many Twitter followers? Well, let's do it this way. Bruce Springsteen is a national name.
Yes.
There's no, even though he's from New Jersey, the swamps of Jersey, he is a national name. How many Twitter followers do you think Bruce Springsteen has?
I'll say 1.4
mil. 1.3 million. Wow, good guess. You may be right on this. How many Twitter followers do you think Billy Joel has?
If you say maybe right, I'm going to guess less. I'll say 850,000.
321,000.
Hmm.
Now, to be fair, we just mentioned Lizzo. How many Twitter followers do you think Lizzo has?
I would say it's probably less because she has more on Instagram, I would say, and TikTok. I would say probably 350.
You're wrong. 2 million.
Oh, wow. Holy cow. On Twitter, really?
Yeah. Now, you wanted the Killers?
Yes.
I would imagine their band has a... Ooh, wow! How many Twitter followers... I just basically gave it away. How many Twitter followers do you think the Killers have?
3 million.
4.7 million.
They're popular. Let's go. I stand. I doubled down on my statement. Shouldn't have backed down before. They're popular. They would put on a great show.
Now, let's just see. Maybe this is a victim of East Coast bias. Okay. How many Twitter followers do you think Bon Jovi has?
He's another national name. 1.5.
2.9 million. Now, I suggested Ed Sheeran as well. Does Ed Sheeran not have a Twitter? He's got to have a Twitter. Now, I could... Oh, no, yeah, he does. I spelled his name wrong at first. How many Twitter... Whoa!
He is super popular. Say 7.3.
17.5 million Twitter followers.
How is there even 17.5 million people on this earth?
Well, now, hold on. I don't know if this is actually... Yeah, it is. How many people do you think Ed Sheeran is following on Twitter?
4?
0.
All right.
That's a boss move.
Not bad.
17.5 million. That's a good ratio.
That's maybe the best.
Anyone else did we miss that I recommended? Oh, well, Jay-Z we know is a national name.
Jay-Z, yeah. Don't go out on a limb there. He's pretty well known.
I do wonder how many Twitter followers, though, Mr. Carter has. How many do you think Mr. Carter has?
21 mil.
3.1 million.
Hmm. Wow.
Oh, here's the thing.
Killers are more. Twitter's tough.
Like, Lizzo and Ed Sheeran, they're reaching their apex, like, now. Like, this is, like, right at the height of their run and, like, their popularity. So, social media is newer, and they're getting all these followers now. Now, Twitter, I think Instagram is obviously more used by younger people now than Twitter is. But you see, like, some of these other guys that are older, they all have big followings. We know that. And we're talking about, like, millions of Twitter followers, hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers. But if they were, like, peaking now, like, if Bruce Springsteen was debuted, like, 6 years ago, I think he would have, like, 16 million Twitter followers. If you get what I'm saying on that. Not the 2.1 that we just currently talked about.
That's fair. I guess, like, the modern-day Drake. Like, if they were the modern-day Drake,
yeah,
he
right?
probably, you know, he probably has probably over 20 mil.
I would assume so. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. 39.7 million.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want to follow us on Twitter, we could bump our numbers up a little bit. At Zach Gelb.
We're going to chase him down.
Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. I'm closing in on 10,000 followers. Would like to get it. So follow away, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B on Twitter. And Ryan_Hickey3, I think, is your Twitter account. And by the way, if you follow me right now and Ryan will follow you back. At Ryan_Hickey3, at Zach Gelb. You got to follow us both, and Ryan will give you a follow back. Coming on back after these.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important. give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Aaron Rodgers spoke to the Dan Le Batard Show. And Aaron Rodgers on why he should be in the GOAT conversation. Listen up.
The Super Bowls usually goes, that makes you the best player or the GOAT, right? Like, I mean, other than, who's won the most NBA championships? Bill Russell? Yeah. And how many people say he's the GOAT, right? They would say, you know, Michael Jordan. Some people, I don't know, somehow think LeBron. Mm. But for me, it's Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, the two best players I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that was kind of when I fell in love with basketball in the late 80s, early 90s. But look, there's Super Bowl championships, and then there's talent. And ability, and I think when that's the standard, then I probably should be in the conversation.
Maybe it's because I've heard this conversation for 20 years, how so many people try to take away from Tom Brady, and now there's just a point where if you have a brain, you just can't take away from the guy. But I hate when people try to say, oh, this player could be the most talented quarterback that we've ever seen. Aaron Rodgers, he does things on the football field, I'm not ignoring that, that I've never seen from some quarterbacks. But what does that mean if you can't put that together to go win multiple championships? I'm not telling you Aaron Rodgers isn't a top 10 quarterback of all time. He is, but he can't be on my top 5 list. Now, it's not all about winning championships. But, and he's 1-1. For so many years, though, I feel like people make excuses for Rodgers, who's a great quarterback and an all-time great quarterback. We all know that. And that championship game up against Seattle, that wasn't his fault. But there's been moments where, yes, you could just blame it on the defense. You could blame it on the coach. And there's been games where his teams have just been non-competitive. But the last two, whoa, sorry about that. As we just had some random sound effect from my phone in the Odyssey app play. But anyway, as we get into I'm making a serious point here about Rodgers, and then something like that happens. I don't know if I'll be able to recover. But anyway, the point I'm making here is the last two playoffs for Aaron Rodgers, it's on him. The game up against San Francisco, you could tell me about the special teams. You can't tell me about the defense, because defense played well in that game. He had Alan Lazard wide open, and he went to Davante Adams. He was the quarterback of that team that had a touchdown, I think, the first drive of the game, and then they didn't get another one the rest of the game. And then up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you had three interceptions by Tom Brady in the second half, and everyone highlights what? And I'm glad that Donovan McNabb said this yesterday on the show. Everyone highlights the LaFleur decision to kick the field goal down 8, and give the ball back to Tom Brady. Dumb decision, but that's not why they lost the game. They lost the game because Aaron Rodgers got the ball back 2 times down 5, and they went 3 and out and 3 and out. They lost the game because Aaron Rodgers didn't run a few plays before the decision to go kick the field goal. They stalled in the red zone one other time earlier on in that game. So Rodgers, we all know, is a top 10 quarterback. But to me, he's not in the GOAT conversation. Because he's had a lot of opportunities to go win another. He's been close, and he hasn't done it yet. So if Rodgers does not win another championship, Ryan, give me a word in the way that you would describe Rodgers' career, who we all know it is a great career. It's a Hall of Fame career. He's a top 10 quarterback. But how would you describe his career if he does not find a way to win another championship?
Disappointing.
And it sounds nuts, because the guy we're talking about being a top 10 quarterback, and you say, oh, a top 10 quarterback, disappointing, like what? But if he doesn't win another championship, I would be disappointed. Because he's playing in the regular season at the top of his game the last 2 years. He's won back-to-back MVPs. And he was the number one overall seed. And he had a home NFC title game going back 2 years ago. And last year, lost at home. They were 13 wins the last 3 years. You got blown out in an NFC title game against San Francisco. The whole team didn't show up. Fine. The next year, Brady tried to gift wrap you the game. And then last year, you got greedy going to Adams when you didn't take the easy throw to a wide open Alan Lazard. So I just don't like when Rodgers says, oh, there's talent and then there's winning. That's to me what makes Brady the most impressive quarterback I'll ever see. People say he doesn't have the strongest arm. He isn't the most accurate. He's not the ideal body. And Brady now has shown you for 20 years, it doesn't matter what you tell him he can't do, he finds a way to get it done. And Brady now won 6 Super Bowls in New England, in Foxborough, and then 1 in Tampa. So for all those idiots for all those years that said, oh, he's a system quarterback with Belichick, look how quickly people now are just ready to run Bill Belichick out of town. That's always the part of the conversation that I can't stand, Ryan. It's when people go, oh, this guy's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. What does it tell me if you don't put it together and translate it to wins?
That's why I'd use the word, you know, disappointing when it comes to Aaron Rodgers' career, because he is insanely talented. He makes throws with ease that no one else can make. He puts the ball in spots that's impossible, you know, for anyone to defend. But then when it comes to the big moment, it's a throw, it's a read that he doesn't make, and the team falls short more times than they should.
And let me be clear, just because you win the most Super Bowls does not mean you're the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, I don't think anyone's advocating for Troy Aikman or for Terry Bradshaw to be a top 5 quarterback of all time. But you see the numbers of Brady. He's like number one in everything. And then he's number one in rings. So if you want to say that Aaron's more athletic and Aaron has better skills than Tom Brady, that's fine. But what does it mean if you win a Super Bowl early in your career and then 4 or 5 other times you had good shots and you came up empty? Now, I think a lot of fan bases, like, if we're doing a show in Cleveland, they'll be like, oh, we'll just take one. If we're doing a show in Detroit, oh, we'll just take one. But I got to compare him to the other all-time greats that Aaron Rodgers has gone up against. Guy's a great quarterback. No one's taking that away from him. I've called him a top 10 quarterback of all time. But it would feel like, yeah, I would want a little bit more if he walks away 2 years from now and only has one ring attached to his name. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we'll update you on some of the biggest stories of the day with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Let's listen up to Mike Tomlin on if he's thinking about making a quarterback change after 3 weeks of the NFL season.
I'm not in that mindset. I'm interested in reviewing this tape and looking at the totality of it and figuring out how we collectively get better. So answer that question is definitively no.
You could say that now. We'll see if that's going to be the actual answer, though, 10 days from now when you go up against the Jets. I think it's time to go to Kenny Pickett. Mike Tomlin evaluates Mitch Trubisky's performance.
I thought he made some plays, man, but we all collectively came up short. And so, you know, that's how we measure performance, man. Winning is our business, and we didn't handle business. And so we don't, you know, break that apart and look for the feel good.
It wasn't as if Mitch was horrible last night, but there's no upside anymore to go to Mitch Trubisky. And that's what I said from the start of the season, that there was going to be no upside. He was not going to be this great quarterback. He was not going to be able to hold off the fans enough from wanting to see Kenny Pickett. I don't know if Kenny Pickett's going to be great, but it is time to go to him because it's pointless to keep on trotting out Mitch Trubisky at this rate. Talking about Trubisky, let's hear from him. He says the offense can splinter after these early season struggles.
We just missed on some plays that we could have had, could have went either way. So, especially in the second half, we'll have to look at those, see where we could have got better. And communication is crucial on the sidelines. These next few days, communicate what we can get better at. Everyone just got to be brutally honest with themselves. And I think everybody can be a lot better, myself included. And we'll just have to look at that, see where we can improve. But just stick together. It's only going to get better if we stick together, communicate, talk about the problems, and everybody's willing to fix it.
So if they can't splinter from where they are, like, I get it. You're saying they could only get better, right, Ryan, is pretty much what he's saying. They've been horrible the first 3 weeks of the season.
Which is why he's basically saying it can only go up from here.
Yeah.
There's optimism
for
you.
That's desperation.
Yes.
That is desperation at its finest. Because week one, the offense wasn't the story. Minka Fitzpatrick had the pick six. Minka Fitzpatrick had the PAT block. It wasn't like the offense was great in that game. Week two, I think my team's offense is bad. Go watch Pittsburgh's offense. PU, ugly. And they actually have some playmakers on that roster. And last night, they didn't really do much offensively. And you know what's crazy? Until that final drive for Pittsburgh, Al Michaels said in the broadcast that up until that point, Pat Freiermuth didn't have a target in the game and he got two late catches. What are you doing? Get that guy the football. He's a stud. So is that on Mitch? Is that the play calling? Is it a mixture of both? It's just a mess. Kevin Stefanski loves how his team bounced back after what was an ugly loss on Sunday.
That's just a great team win, and I'm really proud of those guys for fighting. Short week with all the things, with last Sunday. For those guys to come through, first of all, just battle to make it to this game, which is not easy. But then the fight for 60 minutes, and I thought it was really a team win. I think it was offense, defense, special teams all working together.
I get in our society, we very just quickly and easily and often use the word great. I'm not calling that a great win last night if I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. Now, you get to 2-1. You needed that win. Don't get me wrong. It was embarrassing that you blew the game to the Jets. From now until when Watson comes back, you got to find a way to go get 5-6 wins total to weather the storm. But Ryan, a great win. A great win's like, yo, we just embarrassed you. We won 45-0. Yes, they were the better team, but a great win? Come on, coach.
Hanging on for dear life at the end.
I don't know about, I never thought they were going to lose the game.
Well, I mean, I guess I should say the Steelers had a chance technically to win the game in the last play. After you're controlling the game for the entirety of the game. It still came back to one play.
They punted the ball. They get to take the ball at the 10-yard
line. Oh, I get it. I get it.
That's not happening.
Well, after what we saw last week, well, that's just going to say.
Also, late in that game, I think it was, what, fourth and one or whatever, or fourth and inches, and they elected to then punt it? Why not just go for it in that spot?
Oh, like 30 seconds left? Oh, no, you punt that.
But I think there was less time than that.
Don't give him a chance.
That was like, I think there was under 20 seconds to go.
Well, like, what's the benefit?
Just go for it. You get it. The game's over. If not, if 2 weeks in a row, you allow losses like that, if you allow that deep touch, like, there's no way that they were scoring a touchdown there. I actually said at the moment, just go for it. Wouldn't matter anyway. Brad Stevens gets emotional when talking about the female staffers that got dragged into this entire situation with Ime Udoka and the Boston Celtics.
I thought, you know, we have a lot of talented women in our organization, and I thought yesterday was really hard on them, and I think that, you know, nobody can control Twitter speculation and rampant bullshit, but I do think that we, as an organization, have a responsibility to make sure we're there to support them now. Because a lot of people were dragged unfairly into that.
So I appreciate what Brad Stevens said about the women that were just being accused yesterday of, were they sleeping with Ime Udoka when people are trying to figure out what's going to happen. But can we just be transparent about this? This is on the Celtics. The Celtics leaked this to Adrian Wojnarowski, someone inside the organization. They could have been in front of this and made an announcement yesterday, had a press conference yesterday. And there's always going to be some speculation. I'm not naive to that. But it would have limited how much speculation would have happened. Because when the report comes out yesterday, it was a consensual relationship with Ime Udoka and a female staff member. Everyone's like, and you get suspended a year for that? Now, afterwards, late last night in The Athletic, there was a report that Ime made unwanted advances to the woman in the organization. And it's just one of those things where we said it yesterday, we'll say it again. I don't know what else more there is to say. When you heard yesterday what was being reported and the limited information we knew, something didn't add up, and you knew there had to be something more. Rick Grosbeck, the owner of the Celtics, on when the team was alerted of this issue with Ime Udoka.
We learned over the summer, some part of the summer, that there was a situation, called in the law firm at that point, and the investigation had some twists and turns and took some time to develop all the facts. And so it finally concluded. For now, everything we know was wrapped up 2 days ago.
And let's hear from Wick one more time on how the players took the news of the suspension.
Brad and I have both met with the players. Brad can fill you in more on that, but I would say in general, they are very concerned about this. It's not a welcome development, but they also, I felt, have energy and focus and commitment and drive to really accomplish great things, hopefully this season. So that's the commitment I'm feeling from the players, and based on last year and based on everything we know about them, I think that commitment will be fulfilled.
And let's hear from former NBA player, now analyst Matt Barnes, who's been on the show a bunch of times. He originally supported Ime Udoka yesterday, and then he explained why he deleted his post in support of Ime Udoka. Listen up.
Last night, without knowing all the facts, I spoke on Ime Udoka's defense. And after finding out the facts, after I spoke, I erased what I posted because this situation in Boston is deep, it's messy, it's 100 times uglier than any of us thought, and that's why I erased what I said. Some things happened that I can't condone, I can't back, and it's not my place to tell you what happened. If it ends up coming out, it ends up coming out. But that was the reason why I erased my post last night, because after I posted it, I got a call from someone who had all the details, and it's deep.
So all these details that are going to come out, if someone just called up Matt Barnes and told him what happened. And let's be real. I think we've all put out a tweet before, and then like you put out that tweet, you go, yeah, it wasn't great to put out, but it still takes a lot to delete it. The information, or you try to justify, rationalize why your original tweet was right when you know it was just wrong. The information that Matt got was clearly moving enough to him where he thinks that this thing's going to get uglier. And if that's the case, and I said this yesterday when you read the statement at the end of the show from the Celtics that they wouldn't even definitely commit to Ime returning after the suspension of a year, why I would be pretty surprised at this point if Ime Udoka, without even knowing what's going on, but just by the tone and the feeling of this, fair or not, I kind of feel like Ime Udoka is never going to coach a game again for the Boston Celtics. Would you agree with that, Ryan?
I'm with you. When the Celtics say, you know, we'll determine his future at a later date, that's just them, I'm sure, trying to figure out legalities of getting out of the contract.
Because if this was just as simple as he was sleeping with a female staff member in the organization, there's a way to not make this public if it was consensual. There's a way to not suspend a coach for a year. You'd sweep it under the rug because the team's winning and you don't want to disrupt the apple cart. But when you hear a year-long suspension and you go, oh, it was only because he had a consensual relationship with someone in the organization, you're like, yeah, that doesn't really add up. There's going to be a few more dominoes to fall here. And depending on the severity of those dominoes, that will dictate if Ime will ever coach again for the Celtics. And just by the tone from Matt Barnes, the Celtics barely saying anything makes me feel like Ime's probably coached his final game in Boston.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.